عباده الذين اصطفى. الربيع رضي الله عنه used to be in the service of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba Ikram رضي الله عنهم أعلمهم علما. The understanding they had of deen, nobody at all. وأعمقهم فهما. And the understanding also was great. So there was no one equal to them in knowledge, no one equal to them in understanding. Hazrat Rabia must have thought to himself, when I need to strike, let me strike the best. So he used to be at the service of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam right at Tahajjud. At the time that Allah Ta'ala is closest to the earth, it is actually asking the people of the world, ask what your needs are, and I will answer you. So in the process of him being at the service of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on one occasion Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was overwhelmed with happiness and cheer, and he asked him, Salma Badalak, ask what you want. So it's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's the time of Tahajjud, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is himself initiating, ask what you want. So he says, Murafaqataka fil Jannah, I want to be in your company in Jannat. Awa ghayra dhalik, anything besides this, no, wazak, I just want this. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, as though it's on, but a'inni ala nafsika bi kathrati salah. You also must work and do a lot of namaz, nafal namaz, tahiyatul masjid, tahiyatul wuzu, awabin, ishraq, duha. Make a plan and see that your namaz increases. The primary concern of the pious of the past was right companionship, right company. That was the primary concern. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu says, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at the entrance of the masjid, and one person asked, Matasa'a, when is Qiyamah? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi explained to him, as though you have made a lot of preparations for that. What preparations have you made? You're very enthusiastic, you want to be there. So what arrangements, what preparations? So obviously, I can't be at the level of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the great Sahaba Ikram, but really I do have a sincere love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I have a love for that. The Nabi Sallam confirmed and reassured him, Al-mar'u ma'aman ahab. A man will be grouped with the people that he loves. So people will take likings to different things. Some on wealth, some on property, investments, and whatever. But now, the Sahaba Kiram say that we found the greatest reassurance in these words, that the man will be grouped with the people that he loves. So therefore you find throughout the history of the pious Sahaba Kiram and the people thereafter, they were very, very much enthusiastic about this, that are we joining the right company or are we in the wrong league? Abu Sabit radiallahu anhu says that I had come into the masjid in Damascus and had just raised my hands for dua. So the dua that I made, I was a foreigner, I came into the town, new in the town. So dua that I made, Allahumma arnis wahshati, I am a stranger here, so make it comfortable for me, I am a stranger, a new person in the town. Warham ghurbati, and Allah Ta'ala, have mercy on me because I am a stranger here. And the third dua that he made, ويسر لي جليسا صالحا and oh Allah Ta'ala grant me a good company. So the ulama ikram write under this that the greatest concern of the pious of the past was the company must be right. Now how do you make out and how do you determine that this is the company that is right? Obviously there must be some indication, some signal, how you identify. People have got, every person has got his own criteria, but what does the hadith say and how do you identify the person that is right, is the best of company? So that is our important thing. So the hadith gives the answer for this. But what I'm impressing upon is the righteous company. And the righteous company, it molds your thinking, shapes your direction, and it gives you a clear picture of what you are supposed to be doing. The picture becomes very much clear. Because of the company, for the hadith says, Al-mar'u ma'aman ahab, al-mar'u ala dini khalili. A man generally follows the ways of his friends, the circle that he's got, the friends that he associates. So he's on their way. فَلْيَنْزُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَى مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. So everybody should be careful as to who you associate with. And nowadays, the friend is not just the person that you're talking to. It's also the content that you're watching and reading up. So it may be that physically you don't have any bad friends, but this also is a friend. And when I hear the reports of how damaging this is, though we do not deny the good of the phone, there is some good, but the law of the Quran, إِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا, when the damage is greater than the good, then that can't be good. Otherwise, in this world, everything, there's good in everything. Even in gambling, there's good. And a person was a pauper, and overnight he became a multimillionaire. So there's some good in it. So just because it's good, you can't go and experiment on that. So the hadith gives you an indication, all right? How are you to choose the right company, the right friend? Because it's Abu Sabit is making this dua that وَيَسِّرْ لِي جَلِيسًا صَالِحًا, give me a right company. And just then, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu says, if you are true in what you are asking for, then I'm more fortunate than you, having a good company like you. Now imagine it's a Sahabi, but then the humility says, I'm more fortunate than yourself, that I've got a friend, a good friend like yourself. But coming back to the question, how do you make out, how do you identify the right friend? Because this is now your journey to the next world, and you are linking up to the right, then inshallah, Allah Pak will join you up with the right. In fact, the du'as of the Anbiya alayhi salam was the same. Wal hikna bis salihin. Allah Ta'ala, let us die in the state of submission, that we bow down to every command, and join us, link us up with the righteous. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also last word that was uttered from his mouth, in Bukhari Sharif, Wal hikni bil rafiqil a'la. Join me up with the righteous, with the best assembly, the highest assembly. So there must have been something great in this righteousness or righteous people. The Nabi himself is asking the company of the highest assembly. And we are also asking, join us up with the righteous. But now coming back, now how do you identify that this person is righteous? So that this gives about three pointers what we need to look into. One is this. Person is such that when he speaks, your knowledge, your understanding of deen improves. What we generally normally look out for today is how dynamic the speaker is. So the dynamism is just an approach. But what is to be seen is that when you hear the person, full of your understanding of deen, what's the level of your absorption? The deen commitment, understanding, is it improving or is it the same? So if it's improving, your understanding, the awareness of the consciousness of Allah is improving, then very great. So that's the first thing, that your understanding of deen grows, it proves. Number two is, you also grow in the consciousness and the awareness of the presence of Allah Ta'ala. So, if you look at the message of the Anbiya alayhi salam, it's one and the same. Innama ilahukum ilahu wahidun fastaqimu. Your God is just one, remain firm. And it ends up with, wahum bil akhirati hum kafirun. So you start off with iman in Allah Ta'ala, get your iman right, and you end up with the consciousness of that you're reaching, you're going back to Allah Ta'ala. There's a thing like qiyamah, there's a thing like a day of judgment, like accountability, where no influence can work, and no affluence can work. In this world, when we think about our affluence, or we think about influence, influencing this person, that person, contacts, or affluence, these are the two currencies that work in this world. But there, the affluence doesn't work, nor does the influence work. Both doesn't work. So that person, when he speaks, then your consciousness of Allah Ta'ala increases, it improves. And the last is this, that you become more conscious about your end. When he talks, then you become more conscious, you begin to relate more to your end. So the beginning of your life is Tawheed and the oneness, and your ending is that you're reaching to Allah Ta'ala. So you can't become oblivious of these two points. Like you're playing ball, right? So the beginning is you look after your own parlor. But it doesn't end there. You need to look towards the parlor of the opposition. That are you reaching there or not? And if someone is only looking after his parlor, he can't win. Someone is only watching the other end, he also can't win, because he'll be losing out this side. He's careful of himself and is waiting to get an opportunity to strike. So same, you understand your beginning, the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, and you understand that you are reaching Allah Ta'ala. And have you got all your documentation right? Your paperwork, everything, is it right or not? Like how we are concerned about SARS, etc. That you want your documentation right. If there's a delay, there's a panic, there's a surge, so you get worried about it. But how many of us do take a stock of ourselves before sleeping? Because we don't know, the next morning we'll get up alive or not. But are we concerned that all my documentation is right, my paperwork is right, no hisab kitab, everything, my relationship with people is right, and my relationship with Allah Ta'ala is right? So this consciousness, this awareness of meeting Allah Ta'ala. One is Allah Ta'ala himself, consciousness, and one is that you have to meet Allah Ta'ala. So these two things can't leave the life of a Muslim, no matter what you are in deen, dunya, whatever. But these two concerns that I start off here and I end up there, that can't leave the life of a Muslim. So that's why in this hadith, Nabi Sam explains, man will be grouped with the people that he loves. So as Anas says thereafter, that the Sahaba Kiram found the most comfort in this line of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because we all knew we have a deep love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have a love for the senior Khulafai Rashideen, we have a love for the Sahaba Kiram. When we have a love for them, then we have that certainty in the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we'll be. And we also are very concerned about company. But then our approach is a little bit selective. So we're saying, oh, must be good to everybody, right? We don't say that you must be cruel and aggressive. It's right. But there's a thing like you keep a safe distance. Like you've seen just now the virus, and say, keep a distance, keep a distance. So kufr is also a virus. Disbelief is also a virus. Wrong and haram is also a virus. Fisk and fujur is also a virus. But strangely, we become only selective to the physical harms, not to the spiritual harm. Any type of person you're meeting, sitting and eating, etc., and you think that you won't be affected, then it's a misunderstanding. You're meeting up with riffraff, not concerned about his deen, and you expect your deen to be absolutely safe, then when you don't have an immunity for the virus, then how can you have an immunity for kufr, for fisk and fujur, for wrong behavior, wrong words, wrong type of lifestyle? How can you say that? So in our lifestyle, if your child is mixing around with druggies, say, this is unacceptable. And if he's insisting and carries on, the father will say, see, my roof, my rules. That's the father will say. He's so particular about it. But then, largely when he talks about drugs, it's because of his reputation. Mera naam ka kya hoga? What do people see? Child is a druggie. So he becomes so concerned because of the reputation that he will lose. But then, when his relationship with Allah Ta'ala is being affected, that's not a matter of concern. So long as his reputation amongst people is right, it's enough. But the relationship with Allah Ta'ala is being affected, namaz is not right, his ways are not right, his clothing is not right, his behavior is not right, or the education is not right, and he's not concerned. Yesterday there was a phone from an old woman teacher. I suppose she's head of the department, and she's complaining that at the age of 10, 11, then these children are exposed to sex. And she says the textbook that they are given in the government schools and some of the Islamic schools show graphic pictures of the private areas. Now, at the age of 10 and 11, now under the name of education. Now, this is such a thing that animals also know what to do when they come of that age. They don't have to be introduced into this. But now the education is actually spurring them up. They all got these feelings. But now, what was the need to show pictures of these private areas, women's and men's? Now, this woman is complaining now, what do I do? But now, she can also realize, she can also understand. So the education system that we have got is really compound ignorance. It's not education, it's compound. Otherwise, the faith of the person is being destroyed with Darwinism and evolution, which is up till now, they got no conclusive evidence for that. But he has to go through it. Matric, etc., will learn that thing. Father is hard on him, but he must learn these things here. In the process, if he damages his iman, well, Allah Pak is Ghafoor Rahim. That's the attitude. But why can't we have the same attitude? In Rozi also, Allah Pak is Ghafoor Rahim, he'll bless you, but he must go through this. So we are selective in our iman. So that person's iman is dropped down, is collapsed. But as long as materially he's got some stability, it's all right. And the thing after iman, shu'batun min al-iman, modesty is a branch of faith. From all the different branches, Rasulullah picks out on modesty. And the schools are teaching, the university schools are teaching these things here with graphic pictures to this impressionable young minds. So then what will they want to do? They want to experiment. So the iman has been slaughtered and the shame has been murdered. So now the child begins to take a liking for these things here, and we are not concerned, all in the name of education. One old school headmaster, he tells me, when he came across the concept of Big Bang, so he says, that means everything just happened. Very conveniently, now he's telling me, very conveniently, the polar bear landed in the ice and the camel with the three eyelids landed in the desert. Pagal bhi nahi samajhta. The stupid, mad person also won't believe this thing. So it's taking you away from Allah Ta'ala. Your beliefs is being shaken up, and haya and shame, when that leaves you, the hadith says, then you can do as you want. As though now then this the resistance has been broken down totally. So the shaitans have introduced this into the syllabus to shake your iman and to move you away from shame. So understand that our Savior is the right company, that our thinking goes right, our understanding and our behavior, we begin to understand things rightly, not with this all concocted things. Allah give us all tawfiq.
It's 1 minute. Just to add on one thing that I just heard now before coming for Jumu'ah, on the same line that Mufti Sahib is speaking, something very, very pertinent that all parents, all of us should listen to very, very carefully. It's a person, I think he's an alim, he's working for some organization which has a social welfare department. And he's saying that he received a phone call from an alim asking him if there is any organization or any sort of rehab for girls, Muslim girls. So this alim who's in that organization who took the call, he's asking him, what's the reason, what's the nature of the problem? He's telling him that there's a girl who has been abused and you need some help for her. So he asked him, what is the age of the girl? He said the girl is about 12 years old. 12-year-old Muslim girl. 12-year-old Muslim girl who has been abused. The adults will understand what we mean by abused. So when he started discussing with this person who made the call, that what do you think, what was the problem behind this? So then he gave the story and the incident. He says that wherever it was, school, madrasa, wherever, Muslim boys, 10, 11-year-old Muslim boys, exposed to things that they're not supposed to be exposed to behind the screen, as Mufsa is saying, companies of two types, physical human company and the company behind the screen. So exposed to things that they're not supposed to be exposed to because of being given free rein by their parents to get them off their backs, use the tablet, use the iPad, use the device, so you're not in my hair. So young boys, 10, 11, 12, exposed to these things, they abused a young Muslim girl, 12 years old. Abused her so badly that she is affected mentally. They are affected mentally. So we have to think, would we take, as Mawlana Yasab also mentioned this many times, would we take like a sharp Qurbani knife or a loaded firearm and put it into a child's hand, 9-year-old, 10-year-old? We'll never do it. We will never do it. We think we're insane if we do it. And as Mustafa says, this things here are not only going to affect your life, it's going to affect your iman, going to erode and take away your iman. Now we have to think very carefully. We sometimes feel we're showing love to our children. We're showing love to our grandchildren. So we'll buy it for them, 10 grand, 15 grand, whatever it is, the phone, the tablet, the device, because we want to show compassion to them. Their friends got it, other people are using it, so we want to make them happy also and give it to them. But we need to think, there are far-reaching implications that are eroding the social fiber of society. Think of your own child, if your own child were on the receiving end, who was abused in that way, whether it was a boy, whether it was a girl, and the cause of it was this year, abuse of the device, how would we feel? So we need patience when we are handing these things over to our children for whatever reason. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Thank you.